Thank you for the privilege of being with you today. Let's look at the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ in Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 through 15. And you can find this study on abideinchrist.com. abideinchrist.com. Abideinchrist.com, and go to Sermons and Bible Studies and click on the millennial reign of Christ in Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 through 15. Down through history, there have been those who could not resist the temptation to set dates regarding the second coming of Jesus Christ. And even the renowned Augustine used this septimillennial theory to calculate the end of human history about A.D. 650. Others attempted to salvage the operation by resetting the end of time clock to A.D. 1000. And then a date was set for 1044 and again for 1065. And if that wasn't enough, William Miller set the date of Christ's return for 1843. And even a generation ago, the well-respected Bible teacher couldn't pass up the temptation by suggesting that the trumpets of Revelation were the events of World War II. One teacher proclaimed the Great Tribulation, the revival of the Roman Empire, the reign of the Antichrist, and the Battle of Armageddon must take place before the year 1933. The poor old Antichrist has been identified as Mussolini, Stalin, Hitler, Khrushchev, and Bill Clinton. In 1992, 5,000 South Koreans sold their homes, left their jobs and families, and to await the return of Jesus. No one will forget the fiery images of the Branch Davidians and the doomsday prophecies of David Koresh in 1993. I think the craziest one I've heard yet, it was in Eternity magazine, which told about the Professor Heinz von Fruster of the University of Illinois, who set the date for the end of the world for Friday, November 13th, 2026. He based his conclusion on the exploding world population, which he predicted would overrun the earth by that time. He said, "Our great-great-great-grandchildren will not survive. They will be squeezed to death by overpopulation." And then more recently, Harold Camping's date setting came to an end and to no avail in great embarrassment. The tragedy of all this confusion is the testimony of God's people's hurt, and the believer and the non-believer question the integrity of God's word. On the other hand, is it not a beautiful fact that for 2,000 years believers from every generation have lived in the constant expectation of the Lord Jesus Christ may come at any moment? And yet his failure to come has not discouraged succeeding generations, but have encouraged their hope. Indeed, it has only intensified that hope of his return. My sincere prayer is, Lord Jesus, will I see you today? Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The Bible speaks about the golden age of the human history when Christ shall reign for 1,000 years, and this glorious kingdom will be ushered in at the second advent of Christ. The idea of a millennial reign, clearly developed in Revelation chapter 20, lies concealed in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 23 through 28. It appears that the Apostle Paul was thinking the same period that is described as the millennium in Revelation. Many serious Bible scholars agree that there is a clear, straightforward statement of the earthly millennium in Revelation chapter 20. The person who fails to find the millennium in Revelation 20 approaches the text with the preconceived ideas in mind. It will be a glorious time when Jesus Christ will establish the righteousness in the world. And the power of Christ is limitless. He is sovereign in the universe. And the millennium is a demonstration of Christ's power in our day before Christ turns the kingdom over to the Father's dominion in the age to come. This is God's purpose of the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. The purpose of the millennial reign of Christ is seen in Revelation chapter 20. God decreed in his eternal plan of the ages that there would be a 1,000-year reign of his Son on earth in absolute sovereign control and perfect righteousness. The ancient church, with minor exceptions, held to the teaching of an earthly historical end-time reality reign of righteousness that was to follow the defeat of the Antichrist and the physical resurrection of the saints. They also taught that this reign would precede the final judgment and the new creation. The millennial reign will vindicate Christ as King of the Jews. And when Jesus came the first time, the people of Israel rejected him as king. When he returns, he will manifest his rightful throne as King of the house of David. The Magi asked King Herod, "Where is he who is born King of the Jews?" in Matthew chapter 2, verse 2. And when Jesus hung on the cross, the accusation written above his head declared him King of the Jews. He was born king and died the King of the Jews. And when Jesus returns, he will be vindicated as he claims his throne and receives all the glory due his holy name. At that time, in that point in history, Jesus Christ will openly manifest his kingdom to the world. It would be a public demonstration that Jesus Christ was and is indeed the Messiah, the anointed of God. God the Father will vindicate his Son in the eyes of the whole world, and the glory of Christ will be manifested. At the present time, Jesus reigns as King of Kings and Lord of Lords in heaven. It's a reign that is unseen and unrecognized by the world. Only those who believe in him recognize his kingdom and glory. The millennial kingdom will be the time when God the Father manifests the glory of his Son. Jesus Christ will ultimately receive universal recognition as the Lord and King in the place where he was rejected and crucified. It will reveal the depravity of man and vindicate God's righteousness. Man was created to bring honor and glory to God. However, man disobeyed, and all creation has been on a steady decline ever since the fall. God's eternal purpose will be fulfilled in his Son, Jesus Christ. And the reign of Jesus Christ will be a demonstration of God's sovereign majesty in history. It's been suggested by a number of scholars that even the final short release of Satan after the 1,000-year binding during the reign of Christ will be used of God to reveal evil hidden in the heart of rebellious people. The New Testament scholar Beasley Murray reminds us of the function of Satan is not to originate sin, but to reveal it and to develop its latent possibilities in sinful man. Sin is rebellion against the Lord God. And this will be a time when God will vindicate his judgment against all rebellion and disobedience. It sets the stage for the final blow to Satan and his judgment. God is just, and this will be the open manifestation of his justice. The progression of the millennial reign of Christ is seen in Revelation. What will take place in the sequence of events by which Christ establishes his kingdom? Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 through 14, pictures Jesus Christ riding out of heaven to inaugurate his kingdom. And there will be no battle when Christ appears. There will be the revelation of his glory and the act of judgment. The only weapon Christ uses is the sword of his mouth. The word of God speaks and it is done instantly. No one will count to three. There will be instant obedience at his command. The enemies of Jesus Christ will be judged. The King of Kings will execute judgment over his enemies. We're told in Revelation chapter 19, verses 15 and 16. Jesus Christ will come from his throne in heaven to earth to rid all opposition to his earthly reign. the judgments of God would have fallen over the earth during the 7-year period known as the Great Tribulation. The judgments upon the earth prepare for the reign of Christ on the earth. And Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 24, verses 27 through 31, that this will be a climatic event. Earth-shattering climatic events will take place with suddenness. This is the same period we read about in Revelation 19. And everyone living on the earth will suddenly see the events taking place in the heavens. The Bible tells us, "Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him." And so it will be. Amen. I do not know the whole scheme of things when Christ is coming in glory. It will be like a lightning strike that grabs and holds the worldwide attention. And this is how Jesus described it. "For just as a lightning comes from the east and flashes even from the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. And whenever the corpse is, there the vultures would gather. But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And he will send forth his angels with a great trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds and from one end of the sky to the other." If CNN and Fox News and the media are still around for the occasion, this will be the most widely covered event in history. The Battle of Armageddon will take place in the Valley of Jezreel in Israel at the end of the tribulation. Revelation 20, chapter 8, should be distinguished from chapter 17, verse 14 and 19:19, because it follows the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Gog and Magog are symbolic figures that represent the nations of the world who band together for a final assault against the kingdom of God at the end of the millennial reign of Christ. And when Christ rides out of the heaven to take his throne, the enemies of Christ who have joined with the Antichrist and the false prophet will meet Christ for battle in chapter 19, verses 17 through 21. At that time, Christ will judge his enemies, and they will be thrown into the lake of fire. It will be a time of great slaughter. The armies of the earth will be destroyed because they have allied with the forces of the Antichrist. Christ will have defeated them all at this time. And not only will the armies of Christ be judged, but it will also be a time when the remnant that survives the great tribulation will recognize Jesus Christ as the true Messiah and God. Jewish people will recognize the true Messiah of Israel. The words of the Hebrew prophet Zechariah will be fulfilled. "And I will pour out on the house of David, on the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and the spirit of grace and the supplication, and so that they will look on me whom they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only son, and they will weep bitterly over him like the bitter weeping over a firstborn," in chapter 12, verse 10. And this will be a time of repentance for the people of Israel. They will weep and mourn over their rejection of Jesus Christ, the true Messiah. And when Jesus Christ returns, his own people will receive him as Messiah and King. Satan will be chained for 1,000 years. The millennium will be a golden age of peace and righteousness upon the earth because Satan will be chained for 1,000 years. Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 through 3 tells us, "And then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, holding the key to abyss and the great chain in his hand. And he laid hold the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he threw him into the abyss and shut it and sealed it over him, and so that he would not deceive the nations any longer until the 1,000 years were completed. and after these things he must be released for a short time. Satan will no longer have access to the world's political leaders. He will not be around to deceive the world leaders during this period of time. Jesus Christ will surely reign as the sovereign king, and he will come forth with his saints and win the battle of Armageddon and judge the Antichrist and the false prophet and bind Satan and usher in his kingdom. The pattern of the millennial reign of Jesus Christ is something that is marvelous and beautiful. How will the most perfect and unique kingdom in history function? This will be the rule of God. This will not be the rule of the majority. It will not be a government of the people, nor the decision-making according to the latest political polls. Jesus Christ will rule with a rod of iron. And there won't be any riots or rebellion at this time. He will have total, absolute dominion as theocratic sovereign. Again, the words of the prophet Zechariah echo across the page of history. And the Lord will be king over the earth. In that day the Lord will be the only one, and his name the only one. Jesus Christ will rule in righteousness. If we have time, we could gather up many passages of Scripture that speak of this great truth. Listen to Isaiah as it describes this righteous rule by the righteous ruler in chapter 11, verses 4 and 5. But with righteousness he will judge the poor, and decide with fairness for the afflicted of the earth. And he will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Also righteousness will be the belt about his loins, and faithfulness the belt about his waist. The prophet Jeremiah echoed that same thought when he declared that God would raise up the righteous branch of David, and he would be called the Lord our righteousness. And this is what he wrote in 2,600 years ago in Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 5 and 6. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he will reign as king and act wisely and do justice and righteousness in the land. And in his days Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. And this is his name by which he will be called the Lord our righteousness. The millennium will be a time of absolute righteousness when God is in control of events. The Prince of Peace will rule. There are over 50 civil wars going on in our world today. And for the first time in recorded history, the world will know peace, perfect peace. It won't come from politicians, but from the Lord God. And again, the words of the Hebrew prophet Isaiah in chapter 11, verses 6 and 7 tells us, and the wolf will dwell with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and the little boy will lead them. And also the cow and the bear will graze, and their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox, and the nursing child will play by the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child will put his hand on the viper's den, and they will not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. The earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Even nature will be brought back into a harmony of God's eternal purpose. The millennial reign of Christ will be a time of perfect peace. The knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth. Isaiah said, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Truth will be everywhere and people will act accordingly. And this will be a time of prosperity. Prosperity will abound during the millennial reign of Christ. The whole earth will function the way the Creator intended it to function when he created it. Isaiah saw this time of prosperity in chapters 30, 35, 65. This leads to another question you have probably been wondering. What will we be doing during the millennium? The program of the millennium is full of Jesus Christ and serving Him. We will be His servants. Resurrected and raptured saints will return with Christ and serve Him and His kingdom during the millennium. Jesus taught to His disciples in Matthew chapter 19, verses 28 through 30, and truly I say to you that you who have followed me in the regeneration when the Son of Man will sit on His glorious throne, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones and judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses and brothers or sisters and fathers and mothers or children or farms for my name's sake will receive many times as much and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last shall be first. A frequent theme in the scriptures is the fact that all the saints of God who are now raised up will share in Christ's reign. Many passages in Daniel, 1 Corinthians, 2 Timothy, Revelation speak of this. There will be plenty for us to do in His kingdom, but until then, it's a good reminder that the Christian life is of grace from the very beginning to the very end. It's lived by the principle of grace. It begins in grace, and it must continue by grace, and it ends by grace. The rewards of service are by His grace. Jesus will turn the kingdom over to the Father. And the Apostle Paul tells us about the arrival of the King in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 24 and 25. And then comes the end, when He hands over the kingdom to the God the Father, and when He has abolished all rule and all authority and power, when all things are subjected to Him, and then the Son Himself will also be subjected to the One who subjected all things to Him, and so that God may be all in all. And He must reign until He has put all His enemies under His feet. Satan will be released for a short period of time, and will bring out the rebellious nature in some of those who were born during the millennium. And this final battle will be Gog and Magog, and Satan will bring together everyone on the earth who still has a rebellious and depraved nature. The Apostle John says, "And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, and where the beast and the false prophet are also, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever," in chapter 20, verse 10. The verses that follow describe that final judgment of all unbelievers before the great white throne of judgment. "And I saw the dead and the great and the small before the throne, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things that were written in the books according to their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, and every one of them according to their deeds. And then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire, and this is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name is not written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire," in Revelation chapter 20, verses 12 through 15. And this is the dreadful picture of a violent end of a life lived without Jesus Christ. It reminds us of our only hope is in the saving work of Jesus Christ when He went to the cross and died for us on the cross. John brings to a dramatic climax this vision in chapters 21 and 22. It's the final state of all things. Indeed, it might be the most important sight in the book. It's a picture of the new heaven, the new earth, the new Jerusalem, and the earthly city of Babylon with its love of self has passed away, and the heavenly city of Jerusalem, filled with God's love and God's grace, will endure throughout all eternity. We're wise to seriously ponder the question, is my name written down in the book of life? Do I know it is a fact? What are my attitudes toward Jesus Christ? Have I come to the place in my life that if I know that if I die today, I'll go to heaven? If I died and stood before the Lord God today and he said to me, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say? How would you answer the supreme judge of all eternity? The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that's been given among men by which we must be saved. God has demonstrated his love by sending his Son to die for us on the cross. Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. And he who believes in him is not judged, but he who does not believe in him is judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. I asked a couple weeks ago an 80-year-old man in South America the question, if you died today and stood before the Lord God, would you go to heaven or would you go to hell? The man jumped up and said, I'm going to heaven. And I said, how do you know that you're going in heaven? And he looked at me and he said, because I have put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone, who died for me on the cross and rose from the dead. God loves me, and he sent his Son to die for me on the cross, and I'm trusting him for eternal life. Yes, my friend, that can be true in your life too today. In whom are you trusting for eternal life? Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? We take a few moments right now and do business with God. Confess to him your unbelief and your need of Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will save you right now this very moment. Believe that Jesus died for your sins on the cross and rose from the dead. Ask him to be your Savior today. Lord God, I know that I am a sinner. I know that I have sinned against you. And I confess to you my need of you to save me. I believe your Son, Jesus Christ, and that Jesus Christ died for all of my sins on the cross and rose from the dead, and I want him to be my own Savior. I thank you for going to the cross and dying for me, and I ask you to be my Lord and Savior today. I give myself to you. If you'll pray a prayer like that, the Lord God will save you right now, this very moment. One day, we will stand before the Lord God. We'll give an answer to him. But right now is a day of grace, and he invites you to come and put your faith and trust in him as your personal Savior and be saved for all eternity. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. That is the only response that the Lord God listens to on a day like today. We have the opportunity of believing on him and trusting in him and receiving salvation today. But there is a day coming when there will be not a second chance. There will be no second chance. Then there will be no more opportunities. Only now is the opportunity to believe on Christ and have eternal life. Jesus said that God loves you. That God the Father sent his Son to die for you on the cross. Believe on Jesus Christ today, and you shall be saved. May the Lord's richest blessings be yours today.